Good evening. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we are grateful that the opportunity exists for us to meet each Sunday for worship and study of your word and fellowship with each other. Thank you for moving our hearts to respond to your word and come into a relationship with Christ. Thank you for Christ's sacrifice and that he has enabled us to be certain that we are freed from our sins. I pray tonight's message will be glorifying unto thee. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has provided everything that is necessary for our salvation through his sovereign will over all things. By doing this, he brings glory upon himself. God provided atonement for hopeless sinners that had no desire or ability to change. Because Adam sinned, sin fell upon the entire human race. God would have been just to let us die the death that we deserved. He was not content to do so, however, so instead he provided a way of salvation for believers. God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sins. Though God did not have to do this, it was his divine will to help sinners in this way. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are made whole again, and that means they are at one with God again and have the righteousness of Christ imputed upon them. This is God's plans for our salvation, and it is the only way that we may be saved. Through salvation of lost sinners, God receives glory, and this is his primary purpose in providing salvation. We who are saved are beneficiaries of God glorifying himself. There are many people today that claim to deny God, claim to deny that God exists, or deny that Christ died for sinners. We should not be discouraged by all the lies that are told about God. Just because the majority of the world does not believe in God does not make them right. We have the scripture, which is the word of God, as infallible proof of his existence. Non-believers go their own way, all along thinking that they are all right. They feel that because they do not commit heinous acts that they are good people. They think they don't have anything to worry about. The truth is, since they do not have the protection of Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are in great danger. To die in such a condition is to be lost eternally. Those who are seeking to please God without embracing Jesus Christ are calling God a liar because they do not believe his word about Christ. Failure to believe God's word is blasphemy. The same is true about ignorance of God's word. There are those who say they cannot determine the truth, so they will just do nothing. They too are blasphemers. The only safe way to live is in accordance with God's word. Without Christ, there is no way God can be pleased with us. No amount of good deeds will appease God when the most fundamental truth of Christ is ignored or denied. God is pleased with those who believe in Jesus Christ. He is pleased, but not for anything good in us. It is the righteousness of Christ in us that pleases him. Tonight's passage is Romans 5, 6 through 11. I will discuss the following things. Christ came to earth as a man to die for helpless sinners that were only worthy of death. Christ made a sacrifice above the sacrifice any man would make to save another. Christ's sacrifice provided so much more than what a mere man's sacrifice could provide. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and we joy in God through the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. Please turn to Romans 5. I will read verses 6 through 11. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The first thing I want to talk about is how Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly people are not people who are neutral towards God. They are at enmity with God. They are against all things to do with God, and every one of us was once in this condition. Christ died for those that hated him. You may hear the familiar lie that man is basically good, but it is not true. Since the fall of man, there have been no neutral people. Therefore, there are no basically good people. When Adam sinned, all people became haters of God and righteousness. Christ didn't come to die for righteous people who were on their way to becoming perfect. No one would have eventually become perfect on their own. Our sin nature ensured that. There were no people who were deciding whether to follow God or whether to go the way of the world. All people were engrossed in sin, and because of this, it was impossible for them to change. They were trapped in their sin condition. Christ died for ungodly people that were without strength. There was no godliness in us whatsoever. We had no strength of our own. The Bible equates ungodliness with weakness. The condition man was in was utterly helpless. Man was fallen. Adam sinned, and everyone who came after him were only sinners. Jesus Christ being the sole exception. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man ever born, and that is because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Christ wasn't sent to help people that were already seeking him, because nobody could seek after him. Sin causes man to want nothing to do with God, because God is holy. Left on his own, man would never stray from the course of this world. He would go straight into the path of death. That is the problem that sin causes. Man is born unto death and never seeks a cure on his own. Anything else is foreign to him. Christ died for helpless sinners, only deserving of one thing, and that is death. The fact that God sent his only Son to die for man shows just how bad the problem of sin is. If man could escape death any other way, Christ would not have been sent to die for man. But Christ was sent to die in our place, and because he did, we have a way out of death. Those who do not come to Christ for forgiveness are unable to save themselves. He is the only cure for sin. So God tells us that we are ungodly, but God tells us he loved us so much that he provided a perfect sacrifice for us, though we didn't deserve it in any way. God's account of our condition is that we are sinful. We either believe that we are sinful and that we must be reconciled to God through Christ, or we call God a liar. Any attempt to please him that does not rely fully on Christ's perfection being imputed on us calls him a liar, and it is an abomination to him. God only provided one way of atonement. There are not other ways, as people of the world want you to think. The false religions of the world do not exalt God. They try to exalt man instead. They attempt to lift man up and bring God down to man's level. This way does not please him. It is sin. And the way of the world confuses people. The appearance of righteousness through good works is a smoke screen. It conceals the fact that these people are in rebellion to God. God only considers those to be righteous who are righteous by putting on Christ's righteousness. Any disbelief in God's account is calling God a liar, and we know that is blasphemy because God cannot lie. Christ came at the exact time appointed by the Father to do the will of Father, which was to die for hopeless, helpless sinners who were totally unworthy of anything other than death. He did so not for anything good in us. There was only evil in us. But because he loved us and was not willing that we should die the death that we deserved, Christ died to save us. Now, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here is a comparison between what Christ did for man and what a mere man would do for another man. Christ made a sacrifice above the sacrifice a man would ever make to save another man. First of all, a man would very rarely ever lay his life down in a certainty of death to save another. More likely, he would risk his life to save another, but if it was certain he would die, most would not do it. Also, a man would not lay down his life for just anyone. There are limits on who he would lay down his life for. Man is judgmental and discriminating. He may lay down his life for an apparent righteous man or an apparent good man. For an enemy, he would not lay down his life. So man would judge another and would only lay down his life for someone worthy in his eyes. This is different from what God does. All are unworthy in God's eyes. Yet, it was for the unworthy that Christ came to die. The fact that man sees anyone good or righteous shows that man uses an unrighteous method of determining whose life is worthy to be saved. Among men, there are none that are good. But God didn't send his Son to die for good men or righteous men. God sent his Son to die for people who are all unrighteous. Everyone that Christ died for was formerly an enemy. God didn't discriminate. All were unworthy of grace. God loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proved that he loved us by sending Christ to die for us while we were nothing. I want to quote John 3:16 and then talk about God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't have to send his Son for us. He not only gave him for us, he cast all the punishment for our sins upon his Son. The punishment that belonged to the deserving was executed upon the undeserving. The greatest gift of all time was given to the undeserving. An apparent unfair trade, good for evil, was fair in God's sight because it brought him glory. But God getting glory is not only good for him. Love is spread all around. Jesus Christ, the perfect one, gave up his seat at the Father's right hand and came to earth in order to die a humiliating death in order to cleanse the world of sin. And God gets the glory and we get a benefit. God drew sinners to himself that we may have the power to believe. And God gets the glory. And again, we get the benefit. Those who were condemned and were to spend eternity suffering instead receive eternal life. And God gets the glory and we get the benefit of his love. God accomplished all this, and it was without any kind of compromise. His righteous standard was upheld. If God were to simply excuse sin rather than punish it, that would violate the standard. Sin must receive punishment. Christ bore our punishment in his substitutionary death. Christ paid the price for our sin. And he did it out of love. What are we that God should give such unmerited favor? We are nothing at all, but that didn't matter to God. He loved us even though we were unworthy of his love. I talked about how man is less willing to lay down his life than Christ was. But I also want to talk about how the effect of a man's death compares with the effect of Christ's death. I will reread verses 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. A man may lay down his life for another, but he can only prevent his immediate death. The one saved will still eventually die, and it may then be eternal death, unless that person is saved by believing in Christ. A mere man may lay down his life for another, but he won't save that person's soul. But Christ's sacrifice is different. Christ's sacrifice is altogether better. Christ died not to save us from physical death, but from spiritual death. Christians still die, and we are still sinners until we die. But though our bodies die, our souls are saved from death. If we die in Christ, our souls are saved from eternal wrath. Christ's death provides exceedingly much more than a mere man's death could ever provide. because it provides eternal life, where a mere man's death can only save the body. It is written that the body has so many years to live, and then comes death. The soul is different. It lives on after the body dies. So when we say that the soul is lost, it means that the soul is eternally separated from Christ. This is death. In such a case, the soul spends eternity in hell, where there is only continuous suffering. But those who are saved, their soul spends eternity in Christ's presence in heaven. Because of the absence of sin and the presence of Christ, it is paradise. It is a paradise which no man can understand. That is because we only know a sinful world right now. We are reconciled to God by the death of Christ. We are once again at one with God. We are in His family. We are heirs. Our inheritance is an inheritance which is incorruptible and which cannot fade away and is reserved in heaven for us. So a believer has a reservation with the Lord in heaven. He has made a place for us, and when the appointed time comes, we will go there. There is no possibility of a believer ever falling away. If we who were once enemies of God are reconciled to God by the death of Christ, then we shall be saved by His life. God has invested a great deal in us, the death of His own dear Son. He shall keep us safely until the resurrection. We can see several assurances of salvation. Christ arose from the dead. He was the first fruit of things to come. Those who believe in Christ's resurrection will be resurrected just as Christ was. His resurrection assures us of the same. So we who are reconciled unto God by the death of His Son are saved by Christ's resurrection. Also, God has already done the hard part. That was, of course, Christ's death and resurrection. It is an assurance that He will keep us safely unto the end. God did not send His Son to die for us, possibly in vain. Christ's resurrection is a first fruit of things to come. There will be more fruit like it. So Christ has provided the ultimate salvation, salvation of the soul, not just saving the body, as a mere man would. He has saved the soul of believers from eternal death. Death is separation from Christ. We who were once enemies were reconciled to God by the death of His dear Son. We who are reconciled to God are saved by the life of Christ. We have much joy in God through our reconciliation through Christ. In our former state, we had no joy in God. Since we were at enmity with Him, we hated Him. We lacked the ability to join joy in Him. When we were reconciled to Him, we no longer hated Him. We became able to see the good in God. We are now glad in Him, worship Him, and confess Him. We read His word, pray to Him, and depend on Him. We are each looking forward to the glorious day in which Christ returns to the earth. I want to talk about why God would do such a thing as send his only son to die for enemies. From a human standpoint, he should have simply let us die the death that we deserved. But God's ways are higher than our ways. He knew from the beginning what man was capable of, and he knew that he would sin. That is why, since from before the first human was ever created, that God had a plan for our salvation. God didn't simply react to the fall of man. It never took him by surprise. He knew that man would fall and would die without his intervention. God could have let us die, but he loved us. He loved us so much that he required his son to die in our place. This brought him glory. This resulted in his love being shed on us. I have come to realize in my study that God must be glorified. He requires it, and it is due him. But it is also good for us. God is perfect and worthy of all honor. For him not to be glorified would mean that he is not capable of conquering sin. When God brings glory upon himself, he is showing his love. God is right and his way is right. When he is glorified, the truth is presented. Salvation is a byproduct of God bringing himself glory. We are beneficiaries, undeserving beneficiaries of God's will to bring glory and honor upon himself. God is righteous to exalt himself because he is perfect. He has every right in claiming honor. The ultimate reason for becoming a Christian is obedience to God. It is not merely for the selfish reason of getting into heaven. The goal is to honor God. Salvation is a benefit we receive from this, but it would be wrong to merely seek salvation for our own purposes. Also, God gave us the faith that resulted in our conversion. We can't claim any part of the victory that belongs to God. The entire honor for salvation belongs to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you have provided everything necessary for our salvation. We know that we would never come to you without your calling. We know that we could never meet your standard without the righteousness of Christ imputed upon us. Lord, the glory for salvation is all yours because we were weak, ungodly, and totally insufficient to do anything about our lost condition. Let us be ever thankful for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.